How is your day-to-day right now?
I got lots of time if you guys want to talk for a while. Good to be with you guys.
Well, let me ask you this one then. When you first accepted the job as head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, did you feel as if someone just handed you two pairs of keys to two different sports cars?
Well, that's certainly a nice luxury to have when you're a coach. You know, from all my years in Arizona there, you're looking for some key players or players that you can build around, and Edmonton obviously has a couple of those guys in the lineup already. So to say that I didn't notice that would be a lie on my part. So and the thing about they're both great players, but they're hungry to win. They're good people, and it's been a real fun and experience coaching them, and as well as the rest of the group up there.
Berkey, you're on with Dave.
Hey, Tip, it's Berkey. Thanks for
doing
this.
Good morning, Berkey. No problem.
We're having,
how are you doing?
All the coaches. Good, thank you. We've had all the coaches that have come on and take us through their path to the NHL. So tell us how you got your first coaching job in pro hockey.
Coaching or playing? You want to go coaching? All right.
What?
I was playing in Philadelphia, and I think my last year was 94, and went through the summer, and there was some labor issues that were kind of haunting the league a little bit going into the fall, and I had a couple of young daughters. I was close to retirement, and decided to take a job as an assistant coach with the Houston Aeros in the International League with Terry Ruskowski. And originally I took the job to be assistant coach, and then they were an expansion team in the IHL, an independent expansion team. And I got there and they said, would you play? We're having a hard time finding players too. So I was a player assistant coach for a year, and then assistant coach for a bit, and then I took over the head coach, and stayed there the last 2 years as GM and head coach, and was there for 5 years. Great experience, because I started out just kind of semi-coaching as a player coach and ended up doing everything. And I look back now in my career, that was a great experience to have, to go through the minors and do everything from travel to finding players and trying to build a hockey team that could win. And the fifth year, we ended up winning a championship. I moved on from there as an assistant to L.A. with Andy Murray. And then was there 3 years and ended up, Doug Armstrong gave me a chance in Dallas as the head guy, and spent 7 years there, and nine years in Arizona, and now I'm in Edmonton. So I've had a pretty good run, been very fortunate.
Well, that year that you were player assistant coach, you had 66 points. That's a pretty good year.
You know what happened there, Berkey? I went, and Pete Dineen was the general manager. And I said, Pete asked me to play. And I said, okay, I'll play. But my whole career as a player in the NHL, I was a penalty killer. I never got to play power play, never got to do the fun stuff. So I said, I'm going to play point on the power play. I'm going to shoot in shootouts. I'm going to do everything. And I went and I had a lot of fun. And ultimately, at the end of that year, I had a bad neck that was bothering me. And I ended up getting some surgeries on my neck. And I decided to the playing career was over, and I was going to move to the coaching. But I went down there. I actually, for my last year, because when I got to the NHL, I never played in the minors at all. I went right from the Olympic team right to Hartford. And so it was my first experience playing in the minors, and I had a lot of fun. A lot of good people down there, and I don't know. Coming out of the NHL, it was like taking a step back, and the game was really fun again.
Stewie, who was your star on that championship team? Sorry, who was your star, Tip? Who was your star on the championship team, on the Turner Cup team?
We had a lot of them. You know, we had Brian Wiseman was our the MVP in the league. We had our defense was Greg Haugud, Norm McIver, Greg Andersack, Jimmy Peck. We had a pretty stacked team. I think we only lost maybe 13 or 14 games all year that year. We had a really good team. and we're able to push it through. The owner liked this too, because in the playoffs we played every single home game we could. We went to game, every series went to the final, went to there was a best of five and then best of sevens. Every game went to the max game, so everybody made out well. We won, the ownership made out well. It was good for everybody.
Stewie, go ahead.
Dave, you played with a bunch of guys on this 88-89 Hartford Whaler team. Dean Evanson, Kevin Dineen, Joel Quinville, Ulf Samuelson, John Anderson, Jody Hall, Mark Reeds, Ron Francis, Maloney. Did you know that these guys would be executives or have coaching experience in the NHL when you played with them? And was there a lot of arguments on what's the right thing to do?
You know what? I actually talked to somebody yesterday about some of those mid-80s teams in Hartford and how many coaches or people in management have come out. We were talking about I think it was the 85-86 team. And off that team, there's 12 guys that have coached in the NHL, either assistant coach or head coach. So I don't know what it was. You know, we had a good group of guys there in the middle 80s. Lots of, I think there was less coaching then. I mean, our head coach was Jack Evans, and then we had Claude DeRose was the assistant. I remember standing at a blackboard before you go out before a game. There was Joel Quinville, myself, Kevin Dineen, Mike Gliut, and we'd say, okay, here's what we're going to do on the penalty kill tonight. Like, we got the Stastnys, they're going to play a low player. Guy Lafleur is going to set up on a one-timer on that side. Let's make sure we take that away. But that's how we all kind of just, we all thought the game a different way, you know, collectively. And we, you know, in that area, you kind of coached a lot of the things yourself. So it's amazing how many guys have stepped out of there. And it's amazing those teams. You know, you have chemistry on teams. And a lot of those guys are, you know, they're still real good friends to this day, a lot of guys in the game. So I don't know, it was just a unique situation in Hartford there, I think.
Being joined by Dave Tippett, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, one of the things that we've learned this year about the Oilers from an individual point of view, we talk a lot about McDavid and a lot about Dreisaitl, certainly, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and you know, trending towards one of his best seasons ever this year. Edmonton, your squad was, of course, having a real nice season. And we discover that he's a really good winger, Dave. When you first got to Edmonton, did you say to yourself, I think this guy can be a winger. He's more than just a centerman.
You know what? I always liked Nuge and coaching against him. You could tell he was a really smart player. And my first experience with him was at the World Cup on the under-23 team that I was coaching. And I knew he was a good player, but I was running the penalty kill on that team, and he was one of the guys we were using. And you find out how really smart he is. And he's a great complement player. And this year we'd used him at center ice early on. You know, when I first took the job in Edmonton, we talked, Ken and Holland and I talked a lot about trying to split up the big two there, but then where does Nuge fit? And you're trying different things. Nuge was battling a wrist injury most of the year, too, early in the year that he was struggling with, so he was struggling on some face-offs. And got to the point where we just said, we're going to split the two big guys up, and we put Nuge and Yamamoto and Dreisaitl together, and boy, they took off. And Nuge, the thing about Nuge, he's so smart. He's got great skill, great anticipation, reads off people, and Dreisaitl and Yamamoto were, you know, they can drive a line, but Nuge was really the glue on there that really kept things together. And I've got a real renewed respect for him, because you watch him from afar and you like him, but then you, when a coach watches as much video as you do and see what he does game in, game out, you get a real respect for him. He's a really good player.
And what did you make of his fight with Sean Monahan?
Hey, I'd never been part of the Battle of Alberta before. And Berkey will tell you that's great for hockey. Those are great games. Like, get in. That just speaks to the volume. Like, you got Nuge and Monahan fighting. It's like an amped up game. It's the way the hockey should be played. I know you can't play 82 like that, but boy, it sure be nice if you could.
Berkey?
Absolutely, yeah. So talk about two of your young guys. You mentioned Yamamoto. Talk about him and talk about Ethan Barratip.
Both. you know, Yamo, we didn't get a chance to look at in the training camp because he had a bad wrist. And Kenny wanted him to go down and get working. And he had a pretty good first half in the American League. And then after the first half, we called him up, and we were looking for a little added depth and at forward to try to split those two big guys up. And he came up, and he's a smart player and just tenacious. He's not a big guy, as everybody knows, but just tenacious on the puck, never gives up on a puck. Well, he uses his size. Like, people think he's small, but he gets to the front of the net not by going through people. There's a lot of big guys, they want to run over people, and then it just ends up being a stalemate with the guy in front. He goes kind of around people, under people, and it makes him really effective player. But the biggest thing with him is he's got good skill and everything, can score a little bit, but the tenacity on loose pucks and puck battles, that's where he excels. And what he does is he creates a lot of those loose pucks for Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins, and they've played really well together. Ethan Bear, great kid. He came in, and we had about three or four of the young defensemen. We knew we were going to have to try to plug one of them in if we could. He recognized the opportunity, and he jumped on it from the first day of camp. I remember coming off the first practice of camp, and you're just trying to get to know players. I said, that Bear kid, he's got a jump in his step. He's got a smile on his face. He goes, this guy wants to play hockey. He looks like a hockey player. And from the first day, first practice in camp, that's the way he played all year. And just a great kid. And I give him tons of credit because he had played up a little bit and back, and he had really dedicated the summer to getting himself in great shape and just saying, hey, I'm gonna give myself the best chance to be an NHL player. And he jumped in and he did that. And you look at it like, I don't know where we'd been without him this year. He's he's over 20 minutes a game playing all situations. And Jimmy Playfair, I mean, he's a real good defensive coach, real good details. And Bearsy came in between the two of them. They really meshed well together, and he gave us real quality minutes. And he was a big part of our success. I know the big guys get a lot of the accolades and everything, but that pair of Nurse and Bear was a big part of our success this year.
He's changed the whole complexion of that blue line. Anthony Stewart, last question to you.
It's no surprise that your special teams have to be special to have success in today's NHL. It's no surprise that, you know, your power play's first in the league at 29%, but it's a bit of a surprise that you guys are second in the league on your penalty kill. What's the key to your guys' success? Is it attention to detail? Is it guys blocking shots? You know, why is the penalty kill so special this season?
You know, there's two things I think that's an area coming in that we knew we had to get our goals against down, and that was an area that had been struggling with the club for a couple of years. There's two key things. One is Ken Holland went out and got us some players that are real dedicated penalty killers, guys like Sheehan, Archibald, guys that really they take pride in that part of it. The second part of it is Jim Playfair runs the penalty kill, did a great job with our guys. Our guys are very prepared. We've got a structure we want to play with. We stay with it. And I guess I'll add the third one in. Our goaltending on the penalty kill was excellent this year. Our save percentage was good. And you can have good players and good scheme, but if your goaltenders aren't stopping some pucks for you, then it can all go out the window. So those are the three key elements. But the players we had really dialed in on that Jimmy had dialed in on it, really did a nice job for us. It's a credit to them. You know, Stewie, you know as well as anybody, it's hard to go out there and block shots and
for sure
kind of play the time of the game where it's gritty and you don't get a lot of accolades for, but they're the times of the games that helps you win. And like you say, our special teams were, our power play was really good, and our penalty kill really took a step forward that I think was a big part of our team getting us to where we were.